When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What is up, Wizards fans? Welcome to another Believe in Wizards podcast. I'm Abbott Erno. He's Jihadi White. This is where we talk about the Wizards, and there's not like a ton of major news this week. The big deal, I think, was the introductory press conference to announce Brian Keefe as the official new head coach of the Wizards. And I thought, you know, mostly kind of lip service quotes. We'll get into it a little bit here, but still a few interesting takeaways we want to get into. But just first, as always, Jihadi, how you doing? How was your week? Everything good?
Oh, yeah, everything's good, man. You know, typical week. Basketball, kids.
That's good.
You know, that goes.
Any big AAU trips coming up or anything here?
Well, you know, it's have one in Kansas City, then one in Chicago.
Okay.
It's just live.
A little easier commute for you guys to those ones, right?
Right now, especially in this live period. So, you know, that's big for the boys. Okay. You know, big for the players. It's live period where all the college coaches come out.
Yeah, you hear that with the Danny Hurley potentially going to the Lakers thing. It's like, well, this is a pretty big month for college coaches and stuff, too, because they're on the road a lot. So this is a tough month to be kind of pulled
away
they
are.
Other stuff.
That type of thing is unique when you see a coach like that. And he's like, well, is he going to be here or not? But it seems like the Lakers offer him an opportunity that he can't refuse. It seems like they're trying to make him the new Pat Riley over there. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Put everything in his hand and you create the culture.
Yep. Just on that real quick. I didn't mean to bring this up, but it's interesting. Like, he's the guy you see on the sidelines that's in the refs. He's yelling, not like yelling at the players, but he yells to the players. And like, he pushed Cam Spencer, his own player, during a national championship game onto the right side of the court. Like, I don't know, treating LeBron James that way, I don't think he's going to work. I mean, you've seen him coach college games. Like, do you think his sort of style is going to fit with that group of players?
It's for him to go to the next level, it's got to give a give and take. Got to be a give and take. Mm-hmm. Well, first thing for him is you have to have that undeniable, just that energy and
sure.
Kind of full of piss and vinegar like him. Right. Mm-hmm. It's certain things like pushing the player on the other side that probably won't work.
Yeah. Can't do that to AD. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you have to, you have to, because you have to be that type of coach. You can't be the typical NBA coach that caters. And so all the way down the line, I would rather him be himself and mm-hmm. be the type of coach he is at UConn. And rattle the few players, and a few players get upset and want to leave, then mm-hmm. him changing that all. Yeah. But with the NBA game, you have to choose what you're going to change about yourself. Just you can't change the full of fire, the big stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and that's going to be so interesting to me. Like, I mean, LeBron has said nice things about them and how they run their offense and all kinds of stuff. So presumably this is pretty well vetted, you know, with him. And then probably AD, I would imagine, too. But yeah, he's going to have to meet them in the middle. And LeBron probably says he wants a decent amount of accountability and things like that, too. But I feel like you have to message things differently to pro athletes than you do college players.
You do, because it's grown men.
Yeah.
You do. You can't treat them like college players where you have your thumb under their head. But if you are honest and call them out, and you don't cater so much to the main player, which is, you know, LeBron is old. Some days he may have to sit out of practice. Older, not old, but older. Yeah. Some days he may have to sit out of practice. It is what it is. But it's about accountability. And if he holds LeBron to the same accountability as he holds everybody else, then they'd be like, okay, well, it shows how much the players, it's not the star players, how much they can get away with, right? So if now, like Pop would tell Tim Duncan, hey, I'm going to curse you out today. I'm going to be on your ass all week. And I'm not doing it, and you just have to sit here and accept it. But understand, this is what I'm about to do to you. And I'm not doing it to Tim Duncan for Tim Duncan.
Right,
I'm
for doing everybody else's benefit.
So I can have whole reigns with the rest of my team and have to control the rest of my team. So if he takes that same approach, it's fine. But, you know, just as long as him and LeBron have that understanding.
Makes sense. All right, I'm going to come back to this, but first, our ad reads brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside Hard Iced Teas, Hard Lemonades, Hard Every Flavor you can think of, and BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, MMA, obviously NBA and NHL playoffs, WNBA if you want to do that. Get the latest stats, news, and scores available from your favorite teams and the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So just on that thread for a minute there, like, we talk a lot about like credibility for a coach with players, and, you know, sometimes a former player may have it, or a really well-established coach. Like, for a team like that, you got to have some amount of credibility. And does winning two national titles at the college level carry the same credibility as, you know, he's never coached in the NBA or anything like that? So do they offset, or how would you look at that as a player coming in with that guy being your new coach?
Yes and no. I mean, even if it's Coach K coming in, which everybody knows K is a respect factor, but you're a college coach. This is the NBA. This is different. So NBA player won't look at a college coach and say, oh, they actually kind of look at him as less.
That's how it seems, yeah.
But what would help Hurley out, and it seems like this is what they're going to do, is they're saying, hey, you're not going anywhere. We're giving you a long-term contract that's making pretty much that you control everything basketball.
Sure.
Right? Well, other than probably the GM. Right? But anything under the GM, you get to decide. You get to pick. You get to run. And you're going to be here 10 to 11 years. So now when a player comes in, you know, he doesn't get to pull ranks.
He's not the short timer here. You know?
Yeah, he's not the short timer where I can go to the gym and say, hey, man, we got to get rid of this kid. That's no can do. There's nothing. So now it's just between, okay, now a coach can look and say, hey, I'm going to probably be here longer than you.
Right. Yeah. You got to, it's my way or the highway, really.
So now it's my way or the highway. And when you set the culture that way, you can bypass me to Jenny Buss if you want to, or bypass me to whoever if you want to. You know, whatever team it is, but if nothing's gonna happen, I'm so secure. I have a contract that says I'm here for 10 years.
Yep.
So either you're gonna fall in line, or, you know, we're gonna have a disagreement. We're gonna be butting heads the entire season. And I'm stubborn. I'm stern. I'm decisive and I'm stern. So, and I'm full of energy and full of fire myself.
Yeah, so, I, I think they might like that kind of vibe back of like someone that's just as enthusiastic about it as they are. Like certain coaches are kind of low energy. Like that's not a guy you have to worry about that with.
Right. Yeah. And it's right. And the coach that'll get on you, like a coach mm-hmm. that's going to coach the players.
Yeah.
Right. A coach that's going to challenge you. And a coach that gets to create his culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difference between creating, I get to pick some guys on my coaching staff.
Sure.
Other than, hey, I get the reins to create the culture of how I want this entire thing, the system. I get to create the system.
Yeah. Excellent. The other interesting piece of this, too, is I think by all accounts, the UConn offense that everybody's talked so highly of for the last 2 years was largely put in place by Luke Murray, one of their top two assistants, Bill Murray's son, for any comedy fans out there, which is random.
Wow, but really?
Yeah, which is okay. It's a pretty different career path. But I wonder if he would take Luke Murray with him. It seems their associate head coach, Kamani Young, might stay and be the head coach if Hurley leaves. But I think Luke is like really the kind of creative offensive mind there. So I think that would be unique to see what he can come up with and the different ways they could use LeBron and AD and guys like that. So I'll be interested to see if they can kind of steal him away too.
Well, I'm sure he'd take him. I mean, that's the workings behind the scenes that's really making things to create. He's creating the creator of the system. You got to take him with you. And what it seems like is what they're going to offer him. He has the option to take anybody he wants to. So, you know, I most likely he's going to wipe out that whole staff at UConn.
Yeah. I think maybe the only guy that would stay is like the top assistant if he's going to get the job. And if not, he's probably coming with too. And maybe they bring in a few guys with NBA experience to the bolster
that. Yep, exactly.
All right. So that's a good segue. Let's move on to our own new coaching hire here in Washington. So they had the press conference for Brian Keefe. Got a lot of commentary from Will Dawkins I thought was interesting. The first piece I want to start out with, though, Jihadi, is I think Chris Miller asked this question directly, but they asked Will Dawkins, like, okay, who else interviewed? You said there was an actual, you know, coaching search process that took place here. You know, who else can you tell us? And Dawkins basically just said he wouldn't say names, but that there was like a full process and they didn't, you know, go into it with any foregone conclusions. It wasn't like Keith from day one that they conducted a thorough search and this is the guy who won out. I personally think that's bullshit. Like, I don't really care, but I don't buy that, oh, they did their, you know, super deep dives and due diligence on a bunch of names and we just didn't hear any leaking of any of these interviews. Like, if they had done that, we would have heard something about at least one other guy them having some talks with. So, I don't know, maybe they did a few kind of light introductory phone calls with some guys to be able to say, yeah, we talked to other names. But I think, like we've talked about, this was Brian Keefe's job. Basically, you know, the writing was kind of on the wall here that this is the dude they want, which is fine with me. It's just, why wouldn't you just say that? So I don't know. Before we kind of get too far into it, I guess what's your take on kind of that, you know, take from me?
Well, listen to Dawkins talk a lot lately, you know, when he's in an interview or when he's, you know, having to speak to media. You could tell he's very suggestive with his words,
yeah.
But also very optimistic with his words, you know. And it's like, okay, well, you know, he doesn't show any cracks in the armor, even though you know everything has cracks somewhere,
sure.
Right? So I'm starting to learn, and listen to him when he talks, and it's always very positive, optimistic,
yeah.
And you know, So I consider that when I consider what he said. Another thing is, at the end of the season last year, you kind of figured that Keith was going to be here this year. But yeah. And the first thing I heard this summer was, hey, we're still in rebuilding process. We're still, you know, we might not have another great season. We're still trying to get another high draft pick next year. So, which means, okay, it's kind of, I wouldn't call it a sitting duck phase, but it's like Keith may be in a coach holding phase.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to hold him here. And that's tough to say.
Yeah, there's only so many people that want that situation.
Yeah, that's tough to say to a coach. That's tough to say to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, so yeah, you could say, hey, we did go through a coaching, you know, vet some other coaches. Mm-hmm. But in reality is, you already just told me that these two, this season and maybe next season, is still going to be one of those that we're going to be rebuilding and trying to, so we may not have great seasons. So, again, why waste another coach's time? You know,
yeah, sure.
But I don't think they think less of Keith. No, put him in that position. I think they think that he can be a great coach. He has so much experience. He's been under Pop. He's been under a lot of great coaches, and he's been in the NBA a long time. You know, and not only that, he was a very good college basketball player. Right, so he went to UC Irvine and then ended a great player there. Then went to UNLV, another and good player there. So he's coached under some of the best in the game. So I don't think they're just putting him as a coach holding position.
He's not a placeholder. I'm with you.
Right, but also, he still has to prove his goal if he can be a head coach.
Sure.
So now, if not, we didn't waste our time with interviewing other head coaches for this position. This is guys we can get later.
Hmm.
So I don't think, like you said, it's not placeholder. It's definitely still evaluation.
Sure.
But just, you know, to me, why would you just say, why would you say, hey, we got our guy.
Yeah.
We this season, these other seasons coming up may not be as good. So since we already put a guy there last year at the end of the season, how about we just keep him here for now? And to me, that's better to say that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's more of a ringing endorsement. Like you could say, hey, we went into this. He wasn't a foregone conclusion, but we started the process with him. And when we really thought about it, this is just really the right guy for us for the right time and the right situation. So we didn't really need to bring in a bunch of other dudes. To me, that's like more of a, we've got our guys back here. This is our guy than like, well, yeah, you know, we talked to some other guys and we eventually circled back around to Keith. Like, I know they're not really saying that, but hey, this was our dude. I don't know. Maybe that would frustrate some fans to know that they didn't consider a bunch of other options. I just think if you're going to say we interviewed other guys, I would have liked to have heard some amount about what the other guys were. Otherwise, I just kind of don't believe you.
Like, true. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, but it wouldn't make sense to even interview other guys.
Yeah. I think it's fine.
What do you do? What do you do? Find out the guys they interviewed and go talk to them and what? Because in the end of the day, we understand what the game plan is.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I know we've had some questions and it's coming up here in the chat a little bit from Mike too. Like, if they didn't think some of these other top candidates would actually seriously consider the job, why bother expending the energy to take them? But if you're Chris Quinn and you're a top assistant in Miami and Spo's not anywhere near retiring, you want a head coaching job. I think he would take a thing like that. And I think one of the things that we as fans sort of downplay sometimes is coaches like challenges. Like, they want to prove, they've got egos too. Like, if you can come over and rebuild the Wizards and stick around, like, fans, we're looking at this as like, no one wants our shitty job. I think as coaches, you're like, oh, okay, like, that's a big challenge. Like, I can take that on. Like, I'll make a name if I can turn this team around a little bit. So I think these top assistants, this is actually probably a pretty appealing job. Like, you're not stealing away certain guys, but if you're like an established Mike Budenholzer or something, like, I could see why that guy doesn't want to come to a rebuilding team. But I've never been a head coach before. This would actually be a pretty good opportunity, and you're working with a good, competent front office. Like, I don't think it's that bad of an option as maybe some people are kind of looking at this.
No, I don't think it's a bad option at all. And I know what I see the front office I'm working at. To me right now with this front office and understanding where they're trying to go,
mm-hmm.
The Wizards' job for a head coach would be very appealing.
Yeah.
So now, as a coach, I also
this episode brought to you by Progressive.
Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry. Only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands. All hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I have to look at, hey, what am I working with? What do I have to work with? You know, are they expecting me to work miracles or not? So yeah, you still got to protect yourself.
Right.
But from the top down, it would be very appealing to a coach.
I think so. It never makes no sense. Says it's much more fun for fans to hear reporting on this, but it's probably better for organizations to be quiet. I think you're probably right on that, you know, of keeping kind of a close to the vest sort of thing. And that's been the OKC model. So I think we're going to have to get used to that around here. But the other comment from Azana in the chat said, I noticed that they keep referring to the future of the team. From the sound of things, they don't expect to start winning or anything for another 2 years or so. Yes, everyone listening to this should be fully buckled down and expecting this is not going to be an overnight thing. They're not going to rush this.
You got to strap in.
Yep, exactly. We're in this for the long haul, and yep, there won't be shortcuts, which is actually a good thing. And that should be exciting to hear. But their comments definitely talked about, there were two main themes with the Brian Keefe, you know, commentary here, and it was relationship building and what a people person he is, but also the player development aspect. So we're going to draft a bunch of young guys and we're going to build them up, and Brian Keefe is the guy to do that for us. So that seemed to be a large motivation for them to bring him in.
It is, but I read that too about how you know, how he was with Kevin Durant, how he was with James Harden, how he was with Westbrook, you know, how he made them better players. Great. But he's now the head coach. Right?
Yep.
So, as
gotta be people coach, around him. Yeah.
Yeah, assistant coach. Fine. But as assistant coach, you have time to do that. That's part of your job.
Sure.
As a head coach, you don't have time to
not in the trenches to
develop individual players.
Right.
So now what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you create a system within your coaching staff to make sure that that's your number one priority? Because that's still not you.
Yep.
Like they seem like, reading about him, he was naturally that way.
Yeah, he had the gift naturally for doing that.
I'm going to sacrifice me to make everything else around me better.
Mm-hmm.
Every individual on my team every player on my team better individually than that we makes us better as a whole.
Yep.
So if he can implement that as being the culture for that his assistant coaches do, then great.
Mm-hmm.
But is that but are they naturally him, you know?
That's a really good point. And, you know, last year before the season, they talked about, oh, we're bringing in this whole new player development staff. We had five or six names of guys who have been like player development guys for other good aspiring teams. But then we also heard other than David Vanderpool, like they cleared house. So you brought in all those guys last year. Are any of them back? Like, so if we did such a great job of bolstering PD staff last year, are we going to have to redo that again? Does that mean it didn't work and we brought in the wrong people the last time? Like, I think that's going to be really interesting to see who he fills out the rest of his staff with.
Yeah, it will be. And who's available. Cause now it's about availability.
Yeah,
too.
That's a good point.
So yeah, that's the interesting part. Like, who are you going to build your staff out with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, good call. A couple of the quotes here. Like I said, Dawkins really talked about like relationship building and he's a player's coach. Both Greg Finberg of Bulls Forever and Bijan Todd of Monumental Sports had a lot of the really good quotes from this and just pulled a couple from both of their reporting, but said, when I think of Brian at his core, he's someone who connects with people, who's someone who's a teacher. He's proven in motivating people. That was Will Dawkins. Dawkins also said he's genuine. He invests in people. He puts himself last. He puts the players first. And we're excited about that. That was the piece you pulled a second ago there, Jody, which I thought was good, of just putting people first. I said he has a unique ability to see people and things for what they can be, not for where they are or who they are right now. And when you think of our phase of the team is right now, that's vital. So again, kind of committed to the rebuild here. But I also think that's interesting. And I wonder how much they'll kind of like, you know, like as they're going to start to do these, player workouts and things like that. Sounds like Keith would be a great guy to have. Like sometimes coaches take a little bit of a backseat in the pre-draft process. It depends on the team and the coach and the structure. But hey, if he's got a great eye for what somebody can be, that's the kind of guy I want informing the pre-draft process of like, oh, if this guy, hey, I can help him fix this limitation. You know, this is what he could turn into. Like that seems like a really keen piece or of input to have, you know, in the draft process.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is. And you just tell the way they talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a different type of guy.
Yep.
He's naturally the way he is.
Yep.
Right. He's puts himself last. He puts players first, like you said. The thing is, for a guy like that, how do you now take all of those elements and make them, put them into a head coach?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now another person I think that I probably could refer to for kind of compare him to, if I think of any other head coach that would be like that, have all of those natural talents and skills,
mm-hmm.
right? That would be a Jason Kidd type.
Okay, I like
right?
that.
Right. But my thing is, when you become a head coach, so many other things has to be taken away because
right.
You're not the guy that has the time to put in all the players. So mm-hmm. that's my thing about it.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only so much time in the day, and now you got
so much time. And now he has to deal with the scouting report. He has to manage so many other things now. When you're assistant coach, you just sit in the coaches meeting, and then you deal with the players more.
Yeah. You execute. You got to come up with the plans and delegate and all this other stuff. Now it'll be. That'll be big. I mean, I think that's an adjustment. And I think we're going to have to see him grow into the job here too.
True. Yeah.
Some comments in the chat here, guys asking questions about trades. We can maybe circle back to those at the end, but a good player development question from It Never Makes No Sense. Prior to last year, when was the last time we saw more than one or two players improve in a season? I would say it's been a while, but also look at the makeup of the team. Last year was a much younger team with more guys that were, you know, have ceilings left to reach. When you have sort of the Bradley Beal focused teams and there were some win now teams, that there weren't a ton of young guys there to even be able to like continue to improve. Like we weren't going to see, you know, market improvement from the Kristaps Porzingis's or the Kyle Kuzma's. Like, and they show different things in different roles, sure, but it wasn't like a straight linear, this guy got, you know, X percent better at shooting or ball handling or whatever. So I think the makeup of the team has a lot to do with that too.
Yeah, it does. The makeup of the team, the pieces. You know, it could be one chess piece that don't fit that doesn't work. And then it's the attitude of the players that you have, right? So if you know it's a lot of guys now that's naturally coming early before practice, you know, staying late after practice, getting shots up, working on their craft, it makes the next guy say, well, I can't leave early. I have to do these same things. Mm-hmm. So it's more than one element, right? But it creates the culture. But that's a lot on the players.
Yeah.
That's not as much as just on the coaches as the players, right? Coaches say, I need you here. You should be here at this time. These are grown men. They decide not to, they won't. But if the right guys decide to,
contagious.
You know, it's just infectious throughout the whole team.
Yep. No, that's a great point, too. Let's see. Dawkins also said, through those 19 years that Bryant's been in the league, I'd put his hard work up there with anybody. The diligence, the care, the sweat equity that he's put in with players on the floor, you can see it and you can feel it. And Keith himself said, this is a very rare opportunity in sports where you get to work with people that are aligned from ownership down to the front office to coaching. We're invested in finding the right way to do things. I think that's like maybe the most crucial piece of all of this is, whether we like Keith or not as fans, you know, like whatever your personal opinion of him is, this front office likes him and they're bringing in a guy that's on the same page with them. And they've got a very kind of specific blueprint for how they want to build out this team. And they've decided this is the right guy to help us kind of meet those milestones. So in terms of, you know, we talked about the super friends in the front office, like in terms of enabling them to be the best at their jobs, sounds like this is the right head coach in place to help them do that.
I think they already decided on him before he came.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? He was implemented by them.
Yep.
So, which means they understand his pedigree. They understand how long he's been around the game. They understand his mind and how long he would coach with Pop. How long he coached with, I think it's Carlissimo, not Carlissimo, when he was at Seattle.
Yeah, I think he was probably there with PJ Carlissimo for a while. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a lot of information, a lot of pedigree, a lot of, you know, and he's a mostly a defensive type coach. You know, he was always in control of the defense, you know. So they were like, look, if he's available, let's just snatch him up, put him here now. Let's just make sure he's somewhere
coaching, waiting on the coach staff
or whatever. But because we know what we want to do with him.
Yep.
And like you said, we have a great front office. We got the Avengers right now. So that's not just one decision, you know, one person making one decision, right? So, like I say, they understand the type of player, the coach he is, right? Mm-hmm. And he's not just a placeholder.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, so we'll see if it pays off. Obviously, he's got an uphill battle ahead of him to make them more relevant than normal, but, you know, it's going to be interesting too. All right, so just switching gears a little bit, since we got some questions about the potential trades here. Brett Siegel of Clutch Points reported the Wizards are once again seeking multiple first round picks in trade conversations centered on Kyle Kuzma. And then they also said Washington does not hold much interest in trading Denny Avdija or Corey Kispert. I don't think anything off, you know, earth shattering there from that reporting. I think the main takeaway is like Kuzma is available for the right deal, but you better come correct and you better give us a real offer. It's not going to be like a salary dump and a top 25 protected first round pick or something. Like, that's not going to get it done.
So I don't think you're right. It's not a salary dump. It's not, we're not just taking anything for him.
Yeah.
But by now you can understand that they do want to get a trade dump.
Yeah, I think so.
That's one thing for sure right now at this point. Like, we want to clean this up. For me, Denny she should not be on a no trade list. I agree with the team with that. Corey
can kind of go either way.
Corey. All right, Corey's good for the team, but to me, I at least want to test the market what I can get.
Yeah,
you know, and I understand that, but I understand why they're saying no. He's not on no trade list, but you know, I think Denny and Bilal is the two guys that, you know, non-negotiable for me.
Yep. Yeah, I'm 100% on the same page there. Like, he's a good, useful player with some upside still, but that player archetype, like, how many of those sort of shooting non-defenders, you know, a three and no D wing, do you see really playing in the playoffs a ton right now? So it just sort of caps his value at a certain point, unless he can make kind of big strides on, you know, the defensive end of the floor. So I think for them, like, it's, I'm definitely not going to trade you. We're going to see where you're at. Can we maybe get a friendly extension done? But I don't, also don't think that they're like locked into him as like a long-term, you know, core guy or anything like that either. He's 25 years old at this point too. He's coming up on that contract. So I don't think he's going to start getting like $20 million a year or whatever like that. But if you can keep him on a friendly enough deal, like, I think they'll try to do that.
Yeah. Thanks.
A couple of the specific trade questions here from them. Let's see. So Josh Giddey, we talked about this a little bit last week, being reported a trade option. So I don't want to spend too much time on that one. Steven asked, would you trade Kuzma to Sacramento for number 13, Davion Mitchell, and Trey Lyles? Apparently they talked about that on Locked On Wizards, and those guys do a great job. We talked about this one a little bit too, or something similar to that. I think we had Harrison Barnes in there maybe instead. Right. Meh, you know, like, it'd be fine. You got to make the salary right. I'd like to get maybe somebody with a little bit of replacing some of what Kuzma does. So maybe a Barnes actually does that a little bit better. Mitchell still has some upside. He's getting a little older for a young guy. I think he's probably 25, 26 at this point now too. So he's not like, and he was an old rookie when he came in. So it's not like this. Actually, I'm going to check right now. Yeah, he's almost 26. So he's getting closer to being probably, you know, a fairly formed product there too. So those guys wouldn't super excite me. The number 13 pick in a weaker draft is, you know, maybe really like the 20th pick. If they're saying they want multiple firsts, I think they'll ultimately settle for one good first. I don't know if this year's 13th pick is good enough to do that though.
Yeah, no. So out of all those options, the only good trade person that I hear in there is Harrison Barnes. But it's, I don't think he'd even give us as much points per game as Kuzma's getting, right? I don't know how much he's averaging.
Yeah, I think in the low teens, if I remember.
Right. So the only added addition to that that he'll bring is just veteran leadership and understanding what winning is.
Mm-hmm.
Because everywhere he goes, the team does get better.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's because he offers so much more than just what he does on the court.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I don't see, like, yeah, I would need some, like you say, some top trades.
Yeah.
You're not getting some of the best players, you know, from Sacramento with that. So there's time. We have to be patient and see if there's some good offers out there for Kuzma.
Yeah, I think it's actually more likely it happens after the draft and they hold out for a pick in next year's one. That's how I would kind of look at it. So, but anyway, we'll see.
But now from Kuzma's perspective, you know, they just talked to him, you know, say, hey, you want to stay here, leave. I want to stay. Mm-hmm. So now how does he accept it?
Sure.
If he stick around next year, knowing, I mean, it's part of the game, great.
Yeah.
But now I know I'm just here for
a rental.
Yeah, rental. Yeah. Yep.
No, you got to have that convo up front of, is he going to make noise about it? Or, you know, like, do we have some time and some patience as long as we're trying to send him to a decent situation for him again? So hopefully they bought themselves some goodwill this last year. Never Makes No Sense says, Will Dawkins has said this draft is like a normal draft, but it starts at 4. Not, you know, as opposed to like 8, which is probably what I just said. Will is entitled to whatever opinion he wants. He's a more,
you know, what do you mean it starts at 4?
That, like, the, it's basically like you cut the top 4 off of a normal draft.
Yeah. So, like, okay. All right, yeah.
I think it's a little weaker than that. I would have taken both the Thompson twins. I would have taken Bilal last year. So, you know, he can say whatever he wants to say. He's going to not say this is a dog shit draft to have number 2 in, but I don't totally agree with him.
He speaks in optimism.
Exactly. Yeah. There's some hopeful rose-colored glasses on this.
Yeah.
Niall asked, how much of an emphasis will defense be this offseason in regards to acquisitions? How does Keefe influence this with the front office? I think you hit on it. He's a guy that's likes defense. If you're going to build a culture from somewhere, it's probably not going to be a bunch of dudes that like heave up a bunch of shots and don't guard anybody.
Keefe is a defensive coach first. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's really what, that's really who he is. That's really his pedigree is defense, defense, defense. That's, he's a defensive specialist. They bring him in as a defensive coordinator for the team. Every team he's pretty much been on and coached for. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be eager, very eager to see how well after he gets enough time with him, you know, preseason, training camp, that it really implement his defensive principles,
mm-hmm.
what type of team we're going to be. Right, because defense dictates a lot of things, especially offense. So defense dictates offense. So this is now really his time to say, hey, as a head coach, to shine, say, look, this is what I do, defense. I'm going to put it on the floor. I'm going to put it on stage. And I'm very eager to see it.
He's talked about it a lot. The players have talked about the defensive accountability he's tried to bring. So I think that'll be at the forefront. I just wouldn't expect a bunch of big acquisitions this offseason anyway. They don't have a ton of money to work with here. So if people go out, it's probably via trade. So I'd really expect like the draft picks to come in. So guys with two-way potential, I think is probably something they'll tend to try to prioritize a little bit here. This is kind of a good segue. Chase Hughes of Monumental Sports said the average draft ends up producing about 6 all-stars, about 3.5 all NBA players, a little less than 3 all defensive players, a half a defensive player of the year. So it's basically every other draft produces a defensive player of the year and half an MVP. So that's interesting. So even if you say this year is slightly weaker at the top potentially than the average draft, that's still probably a good sign. You're going to get a couple. There's going to be good dudes here, right? The 2013 draft people crapped on with Giannis and those guys. Or was that 2013? I don't know. They all kind of run together. 20, whatever. They're still good dudes, right? So it's, you know, there's going to be players. They're going to find some guys. It's just hopefully this front office has got, you know, their super evaluator glasses on. One of the names that's come up a decent amount here with Wizards fans is, a European point guard, Nikola Topic. He suffered a non-contact knee sprain earlier in the year, suffered at the time what they called another knee sprain, and then it's since come out that it was at least a partially torn ACL, maybe some rumblings that it's even more serious than that, and he may not play this season, period. I think certain depends on where he goes, so some teams may be you know, not in a hurry to rush this guy back. He gets a redshirt year or whatever. He also kind of measured less well than expected, maybe in Treviso at the European camp this year. So 6'6" and a half or 6'5" and a half point guard with a 6'7"-ish wingspan, a little less appealing than a guy with than a 7-foot wingspan, which had been speculated. So this is just a dude for me. Like if you're the Wizards, you just can't afford to take anybody with any questionable knee injury history at 2, even if your doctors say hey, this was a fluky thing and he'll be totally fine, we just can't afford as an organization to like whiff on somebody that ends up with like chronic knee injuries or something. So you better be darn sure that that's not going to be a lingering thing if you take him. But that would scare me away personally. I don't know, Jada, you've lived through this. You've seen guys that have struggled with knee stuff and stuff. I'm sure like, would that scare you off of him too?
How old is he again?
21, I think.
He's young. He's young. First off, feels like
20,
he has, sounds like he has bad representation. Like,
yeah, yeah. The marketing here is not ideal with that. Well, and he came out and said
they're trying to. In the end of the day, the team was going to find out anyway. They're trying to come up with all these different things to hide. It's a small injury here, a small injury there. Right, which they already knew what injury was a long time ago when it happened.
Yeah.
So they're trying, and I get it. When you finally get this chance to go to NBA, be a top guy, you're gonna do whatever it takes, right? And especially when you know you're fighting against some like some elements in the body that's will can hurt you in the draft process.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, all right, well, let me just try to feed them some information that's something else that's not anywhere near how bad it really is, right? And so then you said, what was the other thing you said? They said, oh, the wingspan.
The wingspan thing was
correct. So I see what they're doing about the injury.
Mm-hmm.
But the wingspan just further confirms that he has bad representation. Because right now they just, whoever the guy representing them right now, just spewing out a lot of BS.
Right? Yeah, it hurts your stock to hear you're shorter than expected.
For stock purposes, or just to make sure. And what is now bringing distrust in the kid instead of, because no one says, who's the guy talking for the kid to saying, and what if this is his representation, his agent saying all this stuff? Now, no one's saying, oh, the agent said this. All of this is falling back on the kid.
And he did say some of these things too, by the way, which I think.
Yeah, I'm sure he did, because he don't know.
They're not prepping him well.
He said, yeah, they prepped him.
Right.
Right.
He came out and talked about, oh, I'm far away from contacts and 5-on-5 and stuff like that. But I am running, I think he said. So it's like, all right, man, I would be choosing my words a little more carefully going to that.
My thing is, you said it's an ACL, right?
An ACL. Both non-contact knees.
I mean, he's going to end up going top 10 anyway. At the end of the day, he can play.
Yeah, I just wouldn't take him at 2 if I were the Wizards, that's all.
You would not?
I would not. That would scare me enough personally for where this organization is at. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you just can't take the chance.
He's not markedly better enough to me than some of these other guys in that range that I would be willing to take on the additional risk. If I was like, you know, if it was Brandon Miller last year or something like that, and I was picking at 3 and he was on the board and I thought there was a drop off, you know, I wouldn't.
What do you feel the biggest risk is?
To me, anybody above a certain size that has had multiple non-contact knee injuries that early in their career, it would just make me nervous that that's a lingering thing. And if it limits him over the course of his career, like how many of these guys have shot knees, you know, that kind of hang with them? Like we're seeing it with like Kawhi.
I haven't heard of shot knees at 21.
Not at 21, but those things start somewhere, right? Like, the John Wall foot injuries at a young age kind of like, they added up. And I think it's not just like the one injury in one place. You know this better than I. Like the rest of your body compensates when you're injured somewhere else. Yeah. And now you're putting strain on other places. I would just be overly judicious with that. If you're like, hey, look, again, it was a total fluke thing. We think this will have no long-term impact. And he's our guy at 2. Cool. I'm not going to give you a hard time. It would just make me personally nervous. That's all.
My concern would be, if I was the Wizards, take it.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
As at number two, whatever, is more of all the bullshit.
Yep.
Right? The BS is for like all the lies that keep coming out. And like, I don't want to deal with that. That extra, we have so much to deal with kids anyway. This is not something to where I'm had to deal with a whole bunch of falsities with this kid, and I don't understand if this kid's telling me the truth or not, or have to question his character.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Secondly, is I wouldn't want to question his athletic ability if he lost something when he comes back. The ACL surgery is, you know, no joke. Okay. But also, you know, with modern technology and modern medicine, they have been able to bring people back from ACLs much better, to the point they almost as have their athletic. They're more athletic.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Then they just as athletic before that they were before the injury as now.
Yeah, and if that's what you feel when you do the thorough medical evaluation and all that stuff, like, cool. Then I got no problem. It's sort of the nature of the injury too, like just running down the court and your knee buckles like that. That kind of, it's not like the
That's unique. It's not nothing happened. You just
right.
Yeah.
I also screwed this up. He will be 18.9 years old on draft night, so he will still be under 19. So that's even better. I was thinking a lot of these freshmen are like about 20. So I was thinking he was more in their kind of age range. But
and to have that many injuries,
it's a little weird, right? Like it is
weird.
It's just
a non-contact injury.
Yeah, it's something I would keep an eye on for sure. Now, if the Wizards do trade a Kuzma and end up with Memphis's pick at 9, or swap with the Spurs and end up with 4 and 8 or whatever, and they want to take him with the second of their lottery picks, you know, they can afford a guy to have a redshirt year here. We don't need him to impact us on the court like some of these teams may be expecting. So there's a flip side to that. At a certain point, I'd be the risk is a little more adjusted that I'd be okay with it. But like, if he's on the board and Alex Saar is on the board at number two, I'm taking Saar and I'm not thinking twice about it.
Oh, I would too.
Yeah. So,
but if they take Saar at number one, who are you going to take at number two?
You know, Reese Shea or Castle or one of those guys would. I still really love Steph Castle personally, so that would be more appealing to me. But you know, they know better than I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't know either.
Question for Jihadi here. If you know it's a good kid, but the agency is a pain in the ass to work with and lying about stuff, can that affect roster moves?
Can that affect what?
Can that affect roster moves? I guess like whether you'd be interested in that player or not.
Yeah. Yeah, because now you don't know what decipher if it's the kid or the agency.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now later on down the line, I'm not going to be dealing with the kid as much.
Right.
I'm going to be dealing with this agent. That's going to be a headache because I'm not going to ever know if he's telling me the truth about this.
Yeah. Can you negotiate in good faith with someone like that?
Right. Exactly. Right. So, and then now I'm like, okay, this kid is in the locker room with all the other players. And if he's this tight, I'm concerned about that as well. So, look, all agents say what they have to say.
Sure.
But when you skirt the line, when you go this far with things,
it's a little weird. Yeah.
It's kind of, you just kind of like, okay, I got a shiesty guy.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times too, there's only so many big time agencies that are representing, especially the American players, but some of the European players, they'll have smaller local representative that start with them at a younger age. And then a lot of times they'll have an American agent also. So those are maybe the European guys are some of the ones that some of these teams may have less direct familiarity with. So there's a little, if there's less of a track record there, I definitely think that that could maybe scare some teams away too. Again, if he's the no-brainer top guy, you just take it.
Right. His agent is probably one of the guys from over there that's probably how it works.
Yep. Right. Exactly. Yeah. You got to kind of maneuver and things like that too, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a team, like, man, I don't want to deal with this guy every day.
Right. I don't need that.
Right.
Okay. Great questions from It Never Makes No Sense. I got one more for you. This was from last week that I kind of saved. What's more important for draft picks succeeding? Scouting the right players or organizational structure and player development? This is kind of related to our Kwame Brown convo last week, because I think, you know, you had said like, hey, Kwame wasn't necessarily like a bad pick. It just sort of didn't work out at the right place at the right time. So I don't know what's more important, I guess.
It depends on the player, first of all. Secondly, they all kind of work in tandem.
Mm.
I have to get the right player, but the right player will be a player that's able to be developed as well.
Sure.
You know, so you can't really take one without the other. Who, what, and who's to say what's the right player?
Yeah.
The right player is based and pertaining on what their team is, how their team works.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the right player would be the right player for us. Right. Then, okay, but if this player is not able to be developed, you know, as a rookie, then that just means I'm drafting the top player, the best guy.
Yeah.
Right? So sometimes the right guy and the best guy are two different things.
Mm. That makes sense.
Those two are pretty much mutually exclusive.
Yeah, makes sense. It's interesting. Like sometimes I think a guy can be the right guy to draft at the time, but then when you look back on it with hindsight, it's like, well, it didn't work out. It doesn't mean that wasn't the right guy to draft at the right time, or you didn't do the right process. It just, sometimes it doesn't work out for whatever the case may be, or, you know, some guys aren't as motivated, or they get injured, or it's the wrong fit. And that's really hard to tell upfront, but you could have done all the right due diligence. It just didn't totally work out.
Well, a lot of times it's the wrong fit.
Mm.
And the NBA has proven that more than anything. Yeah. That guys who just can't find the fit and go through different teams, three or four different teams, and they get on one team and they blossom and end up being a great player. And they didn't mean they never was a great player all along. Like it's really a player and a team is really a marriage, and it has to really fit right.
Mm.
Right. Or you won't get the most out of that player.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I'm just like, I'm kind of ready for us to get through this particular draft. And just, I tweeted this out yesterday, like whoever they take this year, I'm going to assume they do their due diligence. I'm going to feel good about it. I think I can get excited about just about anybody they would ultimately take here, because I think these guys are putting in the work. So again, whether it pans out ultimately or not, it's just to our point. There's all these other factors and circumstances or whatever. But I think going into next year, I'll have like a reasonable amount of excitement. And just with the late 26th pick in the draft here and the 51st pick, like there'll be some buzz. I think the summer league team will get people kind of excited about what next year's group would look like.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Any other questions in the chat? If anybody wants to, just throw them out there real quick. Otherwise, I think we're going to start to wrap this one up here. Jihadi, we're one game into the NBA playoffs or in the NBA finals at this point. Boston kind of put one on Dallas the other night. Any predictions for the rest of the series here or anything you saw from that?
Man, I want it to be an enjoyable series. You know, I like for it to be go seven games.
Mm.
Do I think that Dallas to come back and play a better game than they played last night? Absolutely. Right. They're going to be competitive. The problem is just the Boston just has too many weapons. Every starter is a weapon, is a scoring weapon, and a defensive weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end of the day, Dallas really only have two primary weapons.
Yep.
Kyrie and Luka. So now if I can focus just on those two and say, all right, we're not letting them really get off today, then everybody else is pretty much, you know, pretty good glorified role players.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case with Boston.
Yep.
With Boston, any of those players can get hot. Any of those players can have the best. Look at Porzingis last night.
Yeah, he can be a star for a game in a particular matchup for a couple games.
It's too many weapons.
Yeah.
That's just really what it is. It's too many weapons for Boston. I mean, Boston pretty much has the perfect team right now. Like, perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
So, my prediction is Boston's going to win. I just hope that it's going to be an enjoyable series. Because after this, NBA basketball is over for a while.
Yeah.
And you want it to end right, you know, But yeah, the way last night, looking at me, Luka and Kyrie is going to have to play 40 minutes, they hearts out, balls to the wall, every possession. That's going to be a toll on both of those.
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're both good enough to win them like two games in the series and maybe make it close in another two. So Boston in six would be my guess.
Yeah.
Looking at two, it's a matchup thing, I think, of anybody. Boston seems most equipped to deal with the Mavs, the way they're constructed. They've got multiple guys and bodies to throw at Kyrie and Derek White and Drew Holiday. So they're going to be fresh and take their turns.
Yeah.
And then you can put either Tatum or Brown on, or, you know, a couple of different guys as well on
Luka.
On Luka. So it's just like, hey, we're built to kind of slow you down, and you're not super built to slow us down.
Which means now that cuts out all the lives.
Yep.
They're not really. Luka and Kyrie not getting a lot of paint touches.
Mm-hmm.
That's limiting play touches. That switch really quick.
Yep.
And you get a tall guy like Al Horford on Luka that's just moving his feet and playing with his hands straight up in the air. So now Luka has to force, you know, shooting a higher shot than just, you know, just having an open shot. Mm-hmm. So they have a good game plan as well.
I think you mentioned like Horford, he's not as quick anymore as he used to be, but Luka kind of beats you with like strength more than he beats you with like, you know, line drive speed. And so someone like Horford, like you said, just put your hands up, don't foul, let him shoot over you, but he's not going to body you out of the way.
Right.
So, and then Porzingis, same kind of thing, move your feet, have length. If he shoots over you and he makes it, like, you know, you just clap, but he's not going to get
the ball. And Horford been around long enough to where he,
smart.
He can study Luka's game, right? Exactly. It's a lot of deceleration and a quick bump, then a quick, and then it's a huge sidestep or backstep to create a lot of space, right? And so I looked at Horford last night, and he played that to a T. Like, he just studied that. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for Dallas.
And a championship ring for the St. Louis guys, not a terrible thing. So we're rooting for Tatum.
Not a terrible thing at all. Not a terrible thing at all. Bring one home.
There you go. That's awesome. All right, partner. That's all I got. Any parting thoughts here?
No.
All right. Well, we'll be back here in another week. Hopefully some news of some workouts. I've heard some little rumblings on the side about guys coming in, but been kind of quiet overall. So, you know, we'll see if we can get a few leaks on people they're bringing in for some of these workouts. That'd be good. If you can hit that little like button for us on YouTube, always appreciate that. Rate, review, subscribe. Haven't had an iTunes review in a while. So if anybody wants to help us out, always appreciate that too. We're presented by betonline.ag, and we'll catch you all next time.
Peace.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me.
A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.